We won't take up too much of their time, but we will give them a menu. Okay, we'll say, there's something about this bar that's a little bit different to every other bar in Dublin. Can you guess?
Now then, is it possible to drown your sorrows in a bottle of non-alcoholic gin? How do you approach the ritual of after-work drinks without a pint in front of you? Is it possible to meet a non-alcoholic binge drinker? And how does Tinder night work in an alcohol-free bar? Welcome to this week's Real Podcast, episode 16 no less. A couple of weeks ago we headed off to The Understudy, a bar on London's South Bank that really knows its non-alcoholic drinks, to chat to someone who has helped to plant a very visible flag in the sober curious world, and most definitely has the answers to all of those questions I've just been asking. Over a few glasses of real kombucha, we chatted to Anna Walsh, the manager of the now world-famous Virgin Mary Bar in Dublin. Why is it world-famous, you may ask? Well, it's entirely unique in that it's Ireland's first ever alcohol-free pub. And rather than being something to scoff at, as you might imagine in a town synonymous with a pint of the black stuff, it's a place that Dubliners have taken to their hearts. So, let's get stuck in. Answering the eternal question, can we lose the booze but keep the crack? Here's Anna Walsh.
The Virgin Mary Bar in Dublin, when I first heard about that, it really excited me as a non-drinker, the idea that, well, A, that you had a bar that was going to exclusively talk about and serve non-alcoholic drinks, mm-hmm. but B, that it was in a party city like Dublin.
Yes.
Yeah. So, can you tell me a bit about sort of where the concept came from, how it developed first?
Okay, so just briefly on my own background, I have worked in the industry for coming on, I guess, to maybe 20 years. But over the last few years, I guess my own drinking, I've been winding it down. And about a year and a half ago, I decided I was kind of done with the late nights and working with alcohol.
Yeah.
And luckily, it was... I have a very happy coincidence. Last November, I was contacted by Oisin Davis and Vaughan Yates about the concept of opening an alcohol-free bar.
Mm.
And to be honest, I didn't even ask many questions. I was just like, yes, I'm in.
Straight away.
I'm in, yeah. Amazing. I really admire the bravery of doing something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's been a fun process. So I started working on the opening that month in the Arab, was it December, and we opened then in May.
Hmm.
So there was a lot of work done obviously beforehand. Vaughan works in the drinks industry, but more in brands and designing brand spaces. But he would also travel a lot for his job, and had obviously noticed this growing. I don't know if it's called a trend, but Vaughan had the idea while at a bar show in Paris about a year and a half ago. He'd watched a couple of talks on alcohol-free products and thought, why not open a bar? This space became available, and he had contacted his friend Oisin Davis to come on board as well. They then contacted me. So within, I guess, the industry, I wouldn't live a typical bartender lifestyle, and I guess would be known as a healthier bartender. I mean, I practice yoga and drink nettle tea.
Right.
So they contacted me, got stuck in. We opened 6 months ago. I think it's 6 months this week, and it has been amazing.
6 months this week, so half a year old.
Yeah. So we did our press release last January, and any kind of I guess shock or negativity or it will never work kind of, you know, that all happened online.
Yeah.
That was all people behind their keyboards online.
And was there a lot of that?
A little bit, but not really. People were on to the next thing to complain about them,
yes,
you know?
Yes, of course, that's how it works.
So, yeah, exactly. So once we'd opened, our opening was a little bit delayed with, you know, the usual fire stuff and waiting for everything to be okay. So by the time we opened, anything that was, you know, people were more excited. And from the first night we opened, it was amazing.
Hmm.
Just feels so... On the actual opening day, so we obviously there was all this press, everyone was talking about it, everyone was waiting, but we still didn't know what was going to happen when we opened the doors. You know, was it going to be weird?
Were you nervous?
Yes. So obviously I have experience in managing bars with alcohol, and there's a whole thing, you give people a few drinks, they're having a great time, you know? But with this bar, there's no alcohol, so every other detail needs to be spot on.
Right, right, right.
So we did. We opened the door at 4 o'clock on a Friday, and we're at this point now. We really were nervous. We didn't know where loads of people were going to arrive. Was going to be quiet. So the first hour, I think, literally just 5 people came in the door.
Mm.
And we had a moment of, oh no, what have we done? It was just tumbleweeds. But then by 5 or 6, the place just filled up. It was packed. It was buzzing.
Mm.
And since then, we just haven't looked back.
Mm. I mean, you get people that make the assumption that the buzz comes from alcohol, as you've just said yourself.
Mm.
It's a case that, you know, so you give 3 people 2 or 3 drinks and suddenly they're all happy.
Yeah.
What do you think is it? What do you think replaces that then? Is it just a natural, the natural enjoyment of being around other people who are?
Okay. So this is a good question. So our crowd is quite mixed. So we would have people who wouldn't have never drank alcohol. So yeah, they would not have been in bars.
Yeah.
And then we have the people who come in anyway, even though they do sometimes drink alcohol.
Yeah.
So what I have noticed is, people who came in at the start when we opened but would not be used to being in bars, they might have maybe been a little bit awkward at the start, but they've become regulars and now have they're cool. Whereas people who came in who would usually drink alcohol, they just carried on as normal, even without alcohol.
Right, okay.
It's absolutely fine.
It's like a sort of like laboratory experiment,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's so interesting. We would joke that we call it a social experiment.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're human. We adapt. Someone just needs to make the change, and then we all just carry on as normal and go along with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of our people who come in, they might have come from another bar and had a drink with alcohol.
Mm.
Then they'll come and hang out in our bar for a couple of hours,
mm-hmm,
and then they might go somewhere else and have one.
Mm.
With alcohol.
Mm.
Or you might get a group that come in and one person does not drink, so they'll all come in.
Oh, brilliant.
Maybe just for a drink, but then they end up staying for the whole night.
Yeah.
And they still have the crack, have a laugh, relax, because they're connecting with each other.
Yeah.
They're in a bar atmosphere, just
yeah,
the drinks just don't happen to have alcohol in them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I suppose that word, the crack, which is really key to sort of Irish social life, has always been associated with alcohol.
Exactly.
So it's really interesting to find that the crack doesn't need alcohol.
That was something we asked, was can we lose the booze but keep the crack? And we can.
Lose the booze but keep the crack.
We have been able to.
I love that.
We do make it clear too that we're not against alcohol. It's just another option.
Yeah,
it's another way. So it is quite approachable. Mm. The bar, it really has a bar vibe. So there were certain things we looked at before opening.
Mm.
So one thing is, we don't actually do food because we're teeny tiny. We don't have a kitchen.
Yeah.
We purposely decided not to do tea and coffee because we're not a late night coffee shop. A bar.
Sure.
Especially at the start, because we needed to, because it's such a new concept. It was how to communicate that in a simple way as well.
Yeah.
So they don't understand. They're like, is it a juice bar? It's not. It's not a juice bar.
Yeah.
Is it a coffee shop?
It's
not a coffee shop.
Yeah.
So just to really keep that vibe. So like the odd time, most people know what the bar is.
Yeah.
But we do, maybe the odd time, we do get people who come in who they just wander in off the street,
mm,
and that they don't realise.
Mm.
So you can kind of tell, because they might wander in and go, oh, this is a new bar. Mm. Is this new? And we're like, oh yes, new enough. And we will ask, oh, so do you know anything about us? They're like, no. Mm. Okay, so we'll give them a menu.
Mm.
We won't take up too much of their time, but we will give them a menu. Okay, we'll say, there's something about this bar that's a little bit different to every other bar in Dublin. Can you guess? So they get the menu, they're right, what is it? And they're like, okay, it's a wine bar. Oh, they're like, oh, it's wine cocktails, or you know.
Yeah.
So we will tell them, and quite often they'll stay and have a drink anyway.
Yeah.
The bar has a very relaxed vibe, and we do keep a sense of humour with it. So it's never awkward or I was going to say sober, because sometimes the word sober sounds serious and you know.
Absolutely.
Well, you can be sober and still have a laugh.
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting thing, isn't it? We come up across. We come upon this problem quite a lot, in that the word sober has developed its own, you know, we have phrases like sober as a judge.
Exactly,
and stuff like
that. Yeah. Or it's that's a very sobering thing to say. Or
absolutely. Yeah, and so from a marketing perspective, it's sort of like, you know, how can you use the word sober and not put people off?
Yeah.
Well, actually, being sober and sobriety is a lovely thing. And the state that most of us experience life in most of the time.
Exactly. So exactly. Yeah.
It's time to reclaim that word, I think.
I think so.
In Ireland in general, are you finding, you know, that movement towards people drinking less? We're seeing it in, certainly in the UK, we've seen it in terms of everybody talks about how it's a younger generational thing, but actually we're seeing it across the generations now that people are, you know, possibly about a third of people in the country are now sort of either teetotal or choosing to sort of moderate their drinking or be more sort of conscious of their drinking. Is that something you're seeing in Ireland as well?
Yes. And not just in Ireland, but I'm sure here too, it is becoming more socially acceptable not to drink.
Mm.
Whereas because Ireland is known for pints and the crack and
Guinness.
Yeah. So if you go to a bar and you would get stuck in rounds of drinks, you know, with the lads and you're having pints, it's a bit odd if, you know, I'm not going to drink. It's like, why are you not drinking?
Yes, absolutely.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, what's that question?
But that is happening less. So it turns out we did do obviously a lot of research as well, and it turns out 25% of Irish don't drink.
Mm.
We don't necessarily see them in bars, and the ones that are drinking, we tend to make quite a lot of noise.
Yes,
but, you know, we're Irish, but we also, I think we can do that without alcohol as well.
Yeah.
Like we quite, but people who travel to Ireland for the first time will say how friendly and Irish people are and how helpful and we enjoy connecting with other people. Exactly.
And we're
realizing now that we can do that without alcohol as well.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of tourists coming into the bar as well?
Yes.
Is that because they know about the bar, or is that because they've accidentally stumbled in thinking they're going to have a Guinness or something like that?
Most tourists know. So sometimes they might do a couple of distillery visits, and they'll also come to us, which can be quite interesting. there's one, a newish whiskey, all of the city centre distilleries are new, but there's one in particular, and one of the girls in the tour, she will add in on the tour a bit about our bar, so that they'll come down afterwards. So tourists do come in, and a lot of tourists come in because they've read about the bar in their country.
Yes.
In a newspaper.
Yeah.
Because
you've had international press haven't
you? Yeah, it's been global.
Yeah.
I even had an Indian bartender I had met who messaged me saying he'd read about me in Indian press, you know. So they will come in, and I've had one, it was a Canadian lady, she had said how it was almost like a pilgrimage for her. So she knew she was coming to Dublin anyway.
Yeah.
But so she made specifically came out to the bar. So yeah, we've had a lot of Canadians. We had some Romanians in who'd read about it. We've had a lot of French. We've had people from all over the world come to visit the bar. Some come just for the novelty of coming in, but a lot will come in because they don't drink.
And they specifically,
So one thing we do, so after we first opened, we were looking for something to have, so we don't have a coffee machine.
Yeah.
So instead we have nitro coffee. So it pours like Guinness, but it's coffee.
Right.
So it's a nod to Guinness and it's our coffee option.
Yeah.
And then we had, someone had brought us some samples of it's actually a Dutch alcohol-free porter. Mm. So I thought, hey, let's just mix the two together and you get this kind of Guinness effect drink.
Okay.
So sometimes we offer this to tourists who don't drink, so they want to have the Guinness experience, with their little glass. So they'll come and they'll get their glass, and we have a snog as well in the bar. That's a very Irish pub thing. So they'll sit on the snog with their little glass of what looks like a stout.
Yeah,
and they like that as well.
So it's like a pint of coffee.
Coffee and porter, I know, and then they bounce out the door.
I mean, you're talking about this in an extremely positive way, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Have there been any kind of negative sides of it? Is there any difficulties that you've had? Or has it all been plain sailing?
It is... it's been okay. Everyone's very supportive. All of the drinks industry are very supportive. taxi drivers are very supportive. Everyone's heard about the bar, and one thing we do have in Ireland, we have a very community vibe, and we all want to help each other out.
Yeah.
Most of us do.
Yeah.
But I don't want to call it hard work, because we really enjoy it. Mm. But we do, we, in every bar, service and the quality should be amazing. Yeah. But that's even more so with us.
Yeah.
And I will constantly check reviews and stuff as well. So right. I really, if there's something that someone is maybe not so happy about, I want to know, I want to fix it.
Yeah.
So we want to give a really good drinking experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just without alcohol.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we do work very hard on that with our stylist service. We like to help if someone comes in on their own. We make sure to maybe introduce them to other people who are sitting at the bar, and the same like in a regular bar.
Yeah.
But just more so with us, we really want to make sure people have a good time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I suppose.
Which is a given. Yeah, we want it to be very, very positive.
Yeah.
As well.
Yes, I suppose the idea of sort of people coming in and drowning their sorrows goes away when you've got no alcohol. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we joke about
so
that.
Bar person as a therapist is like
someone sitting there with their bottle of alcohol-free something on. Give me another shot, like, which is yeah. And the same with the style of music. We tend to stay away from anything too kind of sorrowful.
Right. Okay.
So you might have something in a bar where it might have maybe sadder music, and someone sitting there with their pint and their
tears,
you know,
in their beers.
A little bit, but yeah. We're a little bit more kind of upbeat and friendly, but very relaxed.
Right. Okay.
At the same time, it's something we seem to be getting right. So,
yes.
But we need to keep it. It can't be a case of, oh, it's great, we can relax. So we can't. We have to keep the foot on the pedal and keep going and keep looking for ways to improve.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so you're over in London. Do you meet up with other? Do you keep an eye on what's going on in the non-alcoholic industry over here as well?
Yes, yes. So I was over a few weeks ago where I first met you at a Camille Fidel's event. So I met a few people who are working with alcohol-free products and drinks there. So I'm going to go visit a few bars today, and then I would have contacts in the industry here, who just drinks industry in general. So.
Yeah.
Kind of keeping an eye on what they're doing as well.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see them come visit Dublin as well and see what we're doing. We're all working in the same industry, as in it's all hospitality and it's service and it's quality and it's connecting, be it with alcohol or without.
Which bars are you going to see? Are you going to specifically, I mean, we've got Redemption Bar and places like that in London that is a non-alcoholic and vegan place.
Uh-huh.
Have you got your eye on anywhere particular that you're interested in seeing?
I've been in there before, but I'd like to see, I'll definitely take a trip to Lioness at some point later, and Tare, just to see what, it doesn't have to be a bar that's completely alcohol free. I'm not sure if there are.
I don't know any that are doing it quite as what as sort
but the
of specifically
main focus
as you
is
are.
The drinks. Yeah. But I'm curious to see what other bartenders are doing in general with alcohol free products.
Hmm.
And one thing, what we're doing with our bar too, I would like to see maybe regular bars, not, I mean, in Ireland as well, anywhere, might be inspired to improve their choice of alcohol-free drinks.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So, and of course, maybe they can't put as much focus as we do, because it's our primary focus. We don't also have to make a full cocktail list of drinks with alcohol.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But definitely a little bit of an improvement would be good. So, I mean, eventually it could be the case that it's quite normal to go to a bar with alcohol and not drink alcohol there.
We're seeing that anyway. I mean, there's a very large, very high percentage, it's known now, very high percentage of people who actually are in, when they're in pubs and bars in this country, they're, and I'm sure in other countries, they're not actually looking for an alcoholic drink.
Yeah.
Somebody said to me recently, I think it was Laura Willoughby from Club Soda, she reminded me of this fact, that the pubs are like our front rooms, they're like our living rooms. Traditionally, you know, people would go there because it's a communal space. And the idea that you drink, I suppose there's an idea that, I mean, we're sitting in a lovely bar now, the Understudy in on the South Bank in London, and the music's not too loud and there's just a nice vibe, but there's a lot of pubs that you go to where it's just so loud and you can't do anything other than just sort of focus down into your alcoholic drink. And the idea of sort of bringing the pub back to being a communal space is I think that's very appealing
And it keeps the conversation is going as well, and people maybe are not consuming so much alcohol. There's one thing with the vibe. Actually, you were asking about difficulties earlier. There's one little thing. It's not necessarily a difficulty, but it's only happened on the odd occasion when someone has said, "But would you not just serve like alcohol too?"
Yeah.
You know, for people who want to drink alcohol.
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
And which I find strange. For example, even the street that our bar is on, I can say, well, if you feel like alcohol, you can go this bar, this bar, this bar. You can go to 10 other bars within like a 2-minute walk.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, that's literally been like less than a handful of people have asked that. But they're like, why don't you just serve? So the whole point with our bar is you can come in and have loads of choice. You don't have to go, which drink is alcohol free?
Mm-hmm.
Or someone will come in and they'll say, oh, can I have a glass of alcohol-free wine? And then I will explain, you don't need to say alcohol-free in this bar, because every drink is alcohol-free.
Yeah, of course.
Or they'll look at the menu and they'll get a bit confused and they're like, oh, is that alcohol-free? Yes, everything is. Because we don't write alcohol-free beside each ingredient, because we don't have to.
Yes, of course, yeah, yeah. Natural.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw on your Instagram that you're starting to do, you know, you're getting invited to do events and sort of other stuff, and you've got a little portable bar and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that's an increasing side of things as well?
Yes, it is. We're getting a lot of requests for this kind of stuff. So there are quite a few big tech companies that have their base in Dublin. For example, was it last week or before, we did a little pop-up bar at Facebook, which was pretty cool.
Oh, cool, yeah.
So when I went in to have a little chat about the event beforehand, so they would have had bars on site that served alcohol, but it turns out less and less of them want to drink.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a little pop-up there and gave them a taste of TVM or the Virgin Mary, where we gave the same service and just a small selection of our drinks, but in that more like high quality way, to really give the atmosphere of the bar, but not being there. So we got a really good reaction to that. People really liked it.
And do you by that, do you mean that you find people? Do people come over to that sort of over to your little stall or your little stand inquisitively, or that they know that that's what you're doing and that's what they want?
Actually, everyone that came over knew what it was.
Interesting.
They hadn't all been down to the bar,
yeah,
but they were like, yes, I've heard about this, yes.
And were they brilliant. Specifically wanting non-alcoholic drinks there?
There was one or two who said, oh, I'd like, love to have a glass of wine or something with alcohol. But most, they knew exactly what it was. They had no interest in drinking alcohol. So they thought it was brilliant. A lot of people who come into the bar too, I've seen a few people get quite emotional because they have so much choice.
So these would be people who have been non-drinking for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you might have some, of course you would have some people who might be pregnant or they can't for medical reasons, or they just don't want to, but they've always felt like the odd one out.
Yeah.
So suddenly they can come in and have all of this choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And get served in a nice, like our glassware is all like very fine, nice crystal glassware. Everything is like every touch, the ice, everything. Is we try to keep it as good as possible, so you can really feel like you're treating yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And we get that as well, like with real kombucha, because we're so insistent that it's served in a nice wine glass, because it's important that people feel that they've got that choice, that they're not sort of, you know, being sent to sit with the children because they've got some sort of tumbler with ice and a straw and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
And so, you know, we've had people say to us that we've been to food festivals where we come back the following year and people come and see us and said, well, we bought your drinks last year and you've literally changed the way that I drink. I come home at night and I've got real kombucha in the fridge and I don't have to reach for the wine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I say as you're pouring out.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, another one.
Oh,
excellent.
Great.
I mean, is that something that you've found as well? Well, I suppose it is, isn't it? Because you're talking about an emotional response there, which is the same sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that goes into ritual as well. So we serve quite a lot of just... Our main sales are cocktails, but also of alcohol-free wine. And we make sure that even the glass we serve it in, it's a very nice wine glass. So people, they finish work and they come in, and they can have a glass of wine, and it literally is the ritual. They just finished work and they're treating themselves, and so they're it's the motion of holding a glass of wine in their hand and sipping it and chatting with their friends.
Yes, absolutely. It's very important to people.
That
sense of...
Funnily enough, we've had a couple of people who have tried wine for the first time ever in our bar.
Really?
Yeah.
A non-alcoholic
wine. Exactly. So there's one guy, he must be early 20s, have come in. Quite a few young people come in who just don't drink at all. They just don't want to. They're in college and it's just not in their interest.
Interesting.
So one guy came in and he was like, oh, I'm going to try the wine. He's like, I've never tried wine or beer. I've never tasted alcohol. So I gave him a little taste. He's like, oh. And he had his kind of... He would drink maybe lemonade or something when he's out. So he was standing there and he could see he almost... His posture changed and he was like, what's wine? And then he just loved it. Absolutely loved the whole experience. He loved the flavour because it would have been an odd flavour when you've never tasted anything before. And a week later he came back with some more friends. And so he comes in every week or two and has his glass of wine and just like loves it. And he loves bringing people and showing off, you know.
The idea of a sort of non-alcoholic binge drinking
session. Well, another difference is, so you might have in a bar that serves alcohol, maybe people might have 4 or 5 glasses of wine of the same drink.
Yeah.
Or like a couple of different whiskies. But in our bar, there's so much choice that people will switch.
Yeah.
Sometimes they will repeat order because they'll have a cocktail that they absolutely love.
Yes.
And they'll have that every time they visit. But then they'll also try lots of different things because they can. Because the part of the experience is it's flavour, which it is with cocktails and mixed drinks. And we, I guess the people, they know the bar is it's not alcohol-free just for the sake of it. Mm. We're really into flavour.
Yeah.
And texture and everything that goes with it. So people will try a couple of different drinks.
But your background was that you were a mixologist, weren't you? You were into flavour and mixing drinks and that kind of thing. Is that not correct?
Yeah, I'm one of those bartenders. It doesn't really sound mixologist. I guess. For the last maybe 10 or so years, that's my main focus has been, I guess, that whole craft cocktails and flavour. And I grew up in a house where we ate everything, even when we were kids, and we learned all how to cook it. So at a young age too, so I've always really been into flavour. So mixing drinks it's the same process. So mixing alcohol-free drinks is different again, completely different.
What are you looking for in a non-alcoholic cocktail when you're trying to put one together? Because you're obviously missing that very key flavour ingredient, that alcohol. So what are you looking to do there when you're putting something together?
Just interesting drinks. Mm. So I don't always try to directly mimic an alcohol-free drink. A few of them are a nod to a certain style of cocktail, but it's more creating interesting drinks. So like alcohol, as we know, is what carries the flavour and the aroma in drinks. So I'll try to create drinks with layers of flavour instead. Mm. I do actually use teas quite a bit, different styles of teas for different levels of tannins, because the tannins will mimic the astringency that you might get from alcohol.
The bar has its own signature cocktail though, doesn't it?
The Virgin Mary. Of course, and that is a drink we have to get right. Yeah. So our version, we batch a very small amount every day, and when it's gone, it's gone.
Right.
So we juice fine tomatoes. So it's fresh pressed fine tomatoes. We do celery. We actually have an Irish made hot sauce with Irish grown chilies.
Uh-huh.
And we have an Irish Worcester sauce, which I don't really think is called Worcester sauce because it's not. It's actually made in Kerry, but it is a vegan one.
Worcester sauce.
Yeah. He calls it Brosnish sauce somewhere in Kerry. But yeah, so that is all Irish, and they're both from small kind of independent companies.
Mm.
And we don't obviously use vodka, but we use a little bit of alcohol-free muscat white wine instead. Okay. So that drink is quite popular as well. And we've kept it the texture, because sometimes you might associate a Bloody Mary as being quite heavy, or with someone might use salad, but ours is light and very fresh.
Right. Okay.
So then you can have them, then you will move on to some other drinks as well.
Is there a plan to expand it? Is it always going to be that one little bar? Or is that the beginning of
it? It will always be the first bar.
Yes, good answer.
We do. That would be where it all started. We do have plans for various things. We are not talking about everything at the start. At some point, there will be other things. We're also working on some of our own products. But we'll kind of reveal bits as we go. But there is a much, obviously, bigger plan in place.
Great.
But we're just we're showing as we go, as opposed to announcing we're gonna do this and we're gonna do that. And
yeah.
We're just letting, because it's such an odd, not odd concept. It was odd. Now it's not. Now it's not totally normal.
Yeah.
So we're just keeping it simple and we're gradually growing. But we do have a plan set in place for the next kind of couple of years going for it.
Wonderful. Well, that's a good idea, isn't it? Just to do, as you say, to show rather than to announce.
Yeah.
If you announce, then you set very high expectations.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you show.
Yeah.
Do you find that soap dating is something that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I used to. So the last bar where I was, it was a big place for dating as well, specifically on kind of midweek Wednesdays. This is something I noticed recently. So Wednesday was always a big Tinder night, and you just know it. You just
Tinder
know.
Night.
You know when someone's coming in, and then they, you know, it's just so obvious. And this is something I noticed in an alcohol-free bar. It's exactly the same.
Oh, really?
Wednesday night is Tinder night. And I think it's so brave. So it's still completely obvious someone's on a Tinder date, but it seems. They still chat and have fun, but they're most. So I think it's a great idea to sober date, because you're more likely by the end of the date know if you're genuinely interested in this person or not.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, when you witness dating and people have a few drinks and then they get the beer goggles on.
Yeah.
But this is completely sober. But this is the interesting part. So I've noticed this a couple of times. The first half of the date will come in, and it becomes quite apparent that they have not told the other half of the date what kind of bar it is. Yes, and then the second half will kind of notice, and that person goes like, "Oh, are you okay with that?
Yeah,
you okay? That okay?" But it's fine.
And have you ever seen anybody storm out? Say, absolutely not.
No, it's always fine. That's a couple of times I've seen that, but usually, yeah, Wednesday night, dating night, and I'm sure plenty of other nights too. But I've never noticed anything awkward about it. People come in and they chat and they seem to have a great time, whereas they don't. In the last bar where I was, where we served alcohol, I would often have one person look at me for help, going, "I need to get out of this situation." But I have not once. It's part of your job when you run a bar; you also save people from bad dates. But I actually haven't noticed that once in this bar.
Amazing.
People come in and they just have really, they interact and they connect and have great conversations, and whether that carries on or not, I don't know.
So I suppose your bar is too young to know if you've actually got any long-term success.
But it's all been very positive.
Yeah,
it's been great.
That's
so
brilliant.
There you go. And I really admire people who can do that as well, you know. Great. Yeah,
it's really interesting to sort of think that there are these kind of typical alcohol related situations that we heavily connect with alcohol.
Yeah.
That you must be seeing from a completely flipped angle.
But it's become completely normal. For example, last weekend, it was on a Saturday night, a group came in, a largish group, well, maybe kind of 8-9 people, and only a couple of people in the group knew, and they were clearly on a bar crawl. They'd had a few drinks. They weren't drunk, but they were a little bit tipsy. They came in, and then the rest of the group went, "Oh, there's no alcohol." They were like, "Yeah, okay." So they ordered a few bottles of wine, which they shared, and they carried on. They were very animated, and they stayed maybe for an hour or two, kept on drinking. Nothing changed.
Yeah.
They just, their wine just did not happen to have alcohol in it anymore.
Yeah.
There was no bother. There was like, "Oh, there's no alcohol." A brief moment of, "Oh," and then, "Okay,
yeah,
fine."
Yeah. And I suppose if you're on a bar crawl, then it offers you a little, you're still in a bar.
Yeah.
It offers you a little break.
Yeah.
Your bar crawl could actually go on for longer that night.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one thing we say about our bar is TVM is a bar for people who don't drink, people who sometimes drink, or they just don't feel like drinking.
Yeah, yeah. I was just having a little break in the evening.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah. There you go.
There we go indeed. That's brilliant.
Huge thanks there to Anna Walsh for her time and to the understudy for letting us chat up a storm in the corner. If you want to visit the Virgin Mary Bar in Dublin, it's at 54 Capel Street. Apparently, as you've just heard, all the taxi drivers know how to get there. Now, next week, we're going to be chatting to two musicians, Tobias Ben Jacob and Lucas Drinkwater, two musicians and record producers who travel the country, touring, travel Europe, all over the place, and have recently, well, in the last couple of years, decided not to drink anymore. So we're talking about how creativity works on a free and open mind, and also what it feels like to step on stage completely sober, no Dutch courage involved. Tune in for that. We'll see you then.